When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, and welcome to Eating Fried Chicken in the Shower bonus episode. I am, as always, joined by clinical psychologist Saab Jahal. Kia ora.
Kia ora, James.
Saab, I wanted to talk about friendship. And, you know, we're told constantly, you know, human beings are social beings, and we need to, whether it's online or in real life, we need to develop connections with people. But I'm curious, what's happening with our brains when we're making friends?
So yeah, you're right. Good friends, good intimate relationships are great for mental health. We know that actually they're the biggest thing that gets us through tough times. You know, they increase your sense of belonging and purpose. They boost your happiness. They help to reduce your stress, help you cope with traumas, bad times. And they encourage you as well to perhaps maybe do good things, you know, encourage you to stick to a healthy lifestyle or at least avoid unhealthy stuff if that's what you're wanting to do at that time. So yeah, friendships and how we make friendships is interesting and tricky sometimes, you know, as we become adults, and, you know, those opportunities can sometimes can feel like they're hard to come by.
When, you know, with some friendships I've got, you know, they've developed over time and we've gotten to know each other, but there's other friendships where we've just met and we've clicked, and, you know, and it's and fast friends. Is there anything different that's happening there?
Yeah. So there's interesting what you've talked about. There's a kind of like one pathway, which is this shared history of experience that you may have had with someone, then leads to kind of like this friendship that develops over time. But you're right. Sometimes you just kind of meet someone and you just like click. And we wonder what that's about. And I think if we think of a friendship then as not just containing two people who are friends, but what we're actually discovering is that we maybe have a shared sense of reality. We've actually discovered is that we see the same truth. They share this kind of single lens through which we filter the world, where we find the same things funny, or we have the same ideas around how the world works and how we should be in it.
Is there anything that sparks that off, or is it just quite random?
It can be quite random. You know, we often don't discover it until we have a chance to interact with people. You know, and people may have discovered this through, you know, online dating apps or old school. You know, you kind of like get asked to meet someone, or you swipe the right way, and, you know, suddenly you kind of like meet this person. You're like, no, I'm not really sure. And then suddenly there's a moment where you have that kind of click where your minds meet. Suddenly they synchronize, and suddenly you kind of feel this merging of your view of the world with this other person's view of the world. And then that encourages you to take the next step and to explore a little bit further. And, you know, it's kind of hard to predict. You know, it's kind of like a relationship. A friendship is actually an act of mutual creativity rather than this static thing that, you know, just happens randomly. You actually create friendship.
That's, I guess, another thing I'm also curious about is a bit with my very small circle of close friends, but and maybe it's just the kind of people that I'm friends with, but when we have an argument, and it doesn't happen very often, but I find they can escalate so much quicker than, say, arguing with someone randomly I've just met. Is there anything that happens there that causes us to have escalated arguments faster?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things there. So one might be this idea that we have a core kind of script as to what an argument means in our relationships. Now, if you've grown up or experienced relationships where an argument made it feel unsafe for you, you know, this is something that's really quite serious and things could go seriously wrong, or you're worried about your safety or whether the stability of that relationship is going to last or not, then you're going to feel very different when an argument comes up. than if you see an argument as, you know, it's just a clash of ideas. And this is just, we're testing this out and we're just speaking out loud in a vigorous, you know, debated manner. Those are very different approaches as to what an argument means within the relationship. So often you can get a clash and one person kind of sees that as a much more serious rupture than the other. And the other person can be left confused going, hey, it was just us talking about something, right? Whereas the first person is left thinking, yeah, but what does that talking mean, right? What does it mean for our relationship? And I think that that's where, if we think about this idea of shared reality being this like third person of the relationship, what it's actually doing maybe for one person in that friendship is saying, whoa, how you think about the world is actually very different to how I think about the world. Maybe you think about that differently to me in all kinds of different things. Right. So when you argue, maybe one of the things to do is to think about not just where you differ, but where do you actually see the world similarly? And that might be one way to kind of repair some of that work when, you know, these things get a little bit out of control in arguments in friendships.
I know a lot of friendships are much more stronger than those arguments. But I think I'm old enough, I'm sure you are, that there's been those kind of arguments that have really fractured what was until then a quite a strong friendship. Is there anything we can do or perhaps be aware of, is a better way to put it, when we're in those arguments or in the aftermath of those arguments, so about whether we should repair or if we do, how to go about it?
Mm. Well, I think taking a little step back and some time out to understand what has happened and give time for everybody to cool off if it's been particularly heated, and understanding, you know, what are you bringing to the relationship in terms of what a particular argument symbolizes for you. But then also, I think there's part of us that needs to recognize that just as relationships and intimate relationships come to the point where they end, sometimes friendships do too. There's nothing written that a particular friendship has to last forever. You know, sometimes friendships serve us in a particular period of or point in our life where we overlapped our shared reality with those people in our lives at that time. And it's nice to bring friendships with us throughout our lives, but not all of them are going to be like that in our lives. And it's hard to let go sometimes. I totally understand that, and I've experienced it myself too.
There's a final question on this is if a friendship does end, because I don't know if we are taught that that is natural. I think there's still a feeling of a failure if a friendship, in the same way sometimes people feel with any relationship a failure if it ends. Was there anything people can do to take care of themselves in those situations?
Partly it's the framing of, you know, friendships come and sometimes friendships go. It's interesting watching kids with their friends, you know, some that they have this kind of like, you know, idea of, you know, they're a close friend right now, but no, they're actually a little bit further away at the moment because we're just not interested in the same stuff right now. We were, but we're not anymore. But, you know, taking care of yourself and understanding that, you know, this is not just about you or them, but again, it's this shared reality. And for that period of time, perhaps you did share that shared lens of how the world works and your places in it and what you found funny or all kinds of different things. And then people's lives move on and your shared realities may not overlap as much as they did in the past.
Clinical psychologist Saab Jahel, thank you very much.
Kia ora, James.
So Saab, why are friendships important for our mental health?
We know that friendship is one of the most important things that protect us when we're feeling low or if we're going through crisis. Friendship helps us to feel like we belong in a group. It gives us a sense of purpose that we can share with somebody else. It helps us to lift our mood. It helps us to reduce our stress levels too. It can help us increase our self-confidence and sense of self-worth, but also helps us to, you know, tackle really specific things that come up in our lives, like relationship breakups or a serious illness. Having somebody to count on in those times, that intimate relationship becomes incredibly important in helping us to navigate all of these challenges for our mental health too.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.